decade, in the last 10 years, 18 movies released as a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, superheroes from the Marvel Universe. They are all interconnected stories and characters that appear in each other's movies that dovetail from one to the next. They've been released in different phases, and at the end of the first phase came the 2012 movie simply entitled The Avengers. After all, the characters or the most major players had been introduced. The Avengers initiative began with somebody named Nick Fury. Nick Fury was a SHIELD, the head of the SHIELD agency, a government agency, who had a vision to bring together, he says, a few remarkable people to see if they can become something more in a time of great need to fight the battles that we cannot. And sure enough, it happens. The bad guys, or bad guy, I should say, steals a powerful item. And they come together. But things did not go as planned at first. There's Tony Stark, aka Iron Man, Steve Rogers, Captain America, Bruce Banner, known as the Incredible Hulk, and Thor, a creature of myth from a different world, and two super spies already in the fold, nicknamed Black Widow and Hawkeye. They would form the original six of these Avengers, a team. But when they first met each other, they didn't much like each other. They argue as to who is going to be able to arrest the bad guy, Loki, and take him away. Iron Man fights Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man argue. The Hulk and Thor have a big brawl. They separate. Things look down in the dumps. And Nick Fury reveals his plan that he hoped that they would be able to somehow work together. And they do by the end of the movie. They use their different gifts and talents in order to vanquish the aliens coming into New York City that threatened the entire world. Egos and pride and go-it-alone attitudes, mistrust put aside. Ultimately, they came together under a plan of action from Captain, using their strengths. This is like the body of Christ. A lot of times we disagree. A lot of times we feud. A lot of times we don't see eye to eye. A lot of times we might not even like each other, but we're called to act together as one unit. Global Ministries is a partnership that we have with the Disciples of Christ and the United Church of Christ that's both headed at our national offices in Cleveland, as well as the Indianapolis National Office for the Disciple of Christ. And one of the things that they like to say is that we like to meet people at the point of their greatest need, be it physical need, spiritual need, even mental need. Just like the Avengers, they were called together at a time of crisis to meet people's needs. We are very much like that. We have a variety of gifts, just like superheroes do, superpowers. All of us are more or less normal people, but thanks to the Holy Spirit, we have been given special gifts. Many superheroes did not ask to be a superhero. It was through some sort of accident or some sort of luck that they got their powers, and they saw an opportunity to step forward and be brave. Variety of gifts, Paul says. Variety of services. Varieties of activities. All of this is included in what the Spirit says is a gift. Wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now that we always kind of shy away from this whole notion of tongues, right? Because we're not a Pentecostal gathering. Maybe you've been in circles before where they have said that the speaking in tongues is the greatest gift and the greatest spiritual gift. And in order, unless you manifest that, then you're not really saved. I had that said to me before. But here Paul specifically wants to downplay certain gifts and uphold others, making them all useful and good and equal. The Corinthians had an issue with ego. They thought of themselves as just perhaps a little bit better. They had more resources. They had more talent, more intellect. They were probably larger than other churches in the area. They measured themselves a little bit greater. Paul is giving them a bit of a scolding. Remember last week? Remember last week when we talked about the Holy Spirit and how we ought to embrace the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's gifts for us? Put them to use. Put them to use. It's true that as Christians, sometimes we suffer from a little bit of a self-esteem issue. We don't think of ourselves as we ought to. We don't think of ourselves as being particularly talented. And some of that is built into our faith when we talk about humility. Blessed are those who are meek, right? We don't want to call attention to ourselves. But in certain ways, we can step forward and use our God-given talents. Did you hear what John said to us this morning? I'm going to show the choir how talented they are. We are always just a little bit more talented than we think in our own minds, I think. Some of that's healthy. Some of that, however, holds us back. This list is not an exhaustive list, by the way. It doesn't list everything that is a gift of the Spirit. We can include many other things that the Spirit displays in people. The gift of encouragement, the gift of joy, the gift of faith itself, which, by the way, everyone has. Everyone has. Paul lists faith as a gift because he knows everyone has the gift of faith that is a Christian. So he includes that in this list to say, hey, you too, sitting in the back, you too can be a hero. You too can fight for the common good. That phrase that Paul uses. And Paul makes it clear that the church is diverse, the body of Christ is diverse. Jews and Greeks, he says, rich or poor, old and young, he doesn't say that, but we can infer that from this. Internationally, the church is so diverse. Right here in this town, right now, the church is diverse. The confirmation class is going to go down the street, not even a mile, to see the Catholic service on a Saturday night in August. We'll see how different their worship is. The same people who they go to school with, many of them. We are diverse, and it all serves a purpose. I sometimes am encouraged by that we do not have to go it alone. We have others that are in the same boat as us, others with the same struggles. It benefits us to reach out and just be aware of each other sometimes. We cannot dispense with one another. We can't just throw it away, as Paul says in between 14 and verse 26. The eye cannot say to the hand cannot say to the foot, and so on and so forth. We cannot just say to somebody, you're not of any use to the body of Christ. Your way of worshiping is no good, isn't as good as mine. Your way of prayer isn't as good. No. It is all good. It all serves a purpose. Different expressions of faith, different ways of singing, different ways of praying serve a need in the body of Christ and serve a need in spreading the gospel. Brian McLaren has a book called The Generous Orthodoxy, and the subtitle is long, and it says, Why I am a missional, evangelical, post-Protestant, mystic, charismatic, contemplative, emergent, and unfinished Christian. And he takes all these different experiences that he's had throughout his life, and he's in his 50s, and he's a pastor, so he's had all these different religious experiences, and it all informs him, and he has a little chapter on each of them. It's helpful to see all these different things, but it's also helpful to find our identity as well and to own our identity. Who are we? What are our gifts? Where could we be of use in the body of Christ? What are we called to do in Galleon? The mission committee met and said that we feel called to provide even more community dinners. And we're going to start that in June. I like to think that who we are, a part of who we are, is that we are an open-minded group. We are a place where people can come and ask questions and wrestle with the questions. We are a place that deals with the world as is and deals with people as they are and in their struggles. I like to say that we are people of an open table. No matter where you are in life's journey, no matter where you've been in life's journey, you are welcome here. Christopher Grundy, who's a professor at Eden Seminary in St. Louis, has song lyrics that includes freaks and geeks. I like to think maybe we are a place of freaks and geeks. After all, we're talking about superheroes today. Why not invite the people who have been ostracized and made to feel like outsiders? How will we be known, folks? How will we be known? What do we want to be known as? Claim it. Put it out there. Psalm 133 is a short psalm, and it starts out with this phrase that says, "How pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Indeed, how pleasant it is." Our church was described a few weeks ago when I was meeting here with a family as a family. Our church is a family, she said. However, I was reading this week about how a lot of families are dysfunctional. That's true. A lot of families are dysfunctional out there. So perhaps we can be an example of a functioning family. When the Avengers functioned together as one unit, they were darn near impossible to defeat. But they had many breakups. They had a movie called Civil War, where two sides fought against each other. Acts 2, at the very last paragraph of that long chapter. After the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples and Peter gives this long sermon and 3,000 people were added to the number that day, they have this beautiful picture of people living together, sharing resources as they had a need. As they had a need. Now this commune, which it sounds as if it was like, has a lot of practical considerations in the 21st century. Maybe it's not as realistic But there are some things that we can think about in that. Our discretionary fund is one way that we can help take care of people, take care of our own people. If there's a need, and there have been needs, people have not been able to meet their utility bills. Some people have a need for gas just simply to get to work one day. Are we taking care of each other? Will we be known as people that take care of each other, that love each other, that are devoted to the teachings of Christ, Christ as the head of the church? Will we be known as a nurturing Christian community that shows mutuality, that does not have some sort of ranking or caste system that says, well, the elders are above us somehow, more holy than the rest of us? We all have a role to play. Fellowship, by the way, is a legitimate Christian activity. Fellowship, simply being together, simply enjoying each other's time and presence. You can be a Christian all by yourself at home and pray and read the Bible, but you'll be missing out. You'll be missing out on something more, something more. How many people have read the book, The Shack? The Shack kind of explains a lot about the Trinity as the main character meets different aspects of God. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And one of the things it says in The Shack is that God is like that, is in a Trinity form. By the way, today's Trinity Sunday in the church calendar. That God is three in one, so that God can understand relationships, intimate relationships like Father, Son, Spirit. God can understand relationships because of the Trinity. So God can relate to us, and God wishes that for us to come together to become something more. Let's come together under God's plan using our Holy Spirit-given gifts. Be God's response team where there's a need. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to be alone with your struggles, with your questions. Come together. Let's be together. Be a part of this team. Become something more in God's team. Amen. Let us sing in praise of the good news.